Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
As I was considering all of the headlines of this week, man, there have been a lot of them. I noticed the one thing about the headlines this week, they have covered every area that Jesus predicted in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21. Every single area, Brother Randy, we're seeing unfolding right before our very eyes. Anything from political unrest, you know, nation rising against nation, ethnic group against ethnic group, kingdom against kingdom, we see that. We got wars and rumors of wars everywhere. We got pestilences, we've got diseases, and then the big one I seen this week, hundreds, I mean hundreds, plural, of earthquakes worldwide, most notable ones being in Japan and Iran, but now they're saying the fault line that runs through the heartland of America is getting ready to get triggered because there's a volcano, I don't remember the name of it, but it's getting ready, they're saying it's getting ready to erupt, and when that happens, it's going to send a whole bunch of shock waves, a whole bunch of earthquakes right through the heartland of America. And as I thought about that, I thought people, some of the words that Jesus spoke when he said men's hearts would fail them for fear, for looking after the things which are coming upon the world. And those things that are coming upon the world, we've been witnessing, we're seeing it with more frequency and with more intensity, but it's in every area. Even the stars, he said in the heavens, there'd be signs in the heavens. Never seen a time, Brother Mark, when there's been so much talk now, even with our own government, about alien invasion and the such like. Of course, we know the term they use as alien, we know to be fallen angels. We know to be demonic spirits in high places in the second heavens. Jesus said this would take place. In fact, he said, I beheld Satan fallen from heaven like lightning. We're living in that time, Brother Eddie, and people are seeing signs everywhere. They're seeing things they cannot explain away. But my message this morning is one of positivity, because in all of that I just mentioned that's so negative, well, let me just read the scripture for you. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, one verse of scripture there, verse 8. Amen. You may be seated. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, this is what he says to do. Think on these things. Think on these things. And there's six things here he told us to think on, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. But like I said earlier, with all the negativity that's going on in the world, God is saying he wants his people, Brother Robert, to meditate on these things, to meditate upon these things. So when he says to think on these things, I mean, we need to really understand the power of the word think. In the original Greek language, the word think is translated logizomai, and it has three definitions in the original language. It means, number one, to reckon or take into account. To think, in the original language, number one, means to reckon in your mind or to take into account. Number two, it means to count up or weigh the reasons. It means to deliberate. And number three, it means to consider, to meditate upon, to suppose, to judge. And that doesn't mean judging people, but the matter. To determine, to purpose, and to make a decision, to decide. So God's word here again gives us six different areas that we're to think on. That these words, these definitions I just gave you, we're to focus on these things. And those six things again are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and the things that are of a good report. When we look at the word true, many times, I think in my mind anyway, that folks really have a hard time with this one for whatever reason. And surprisingly to me, God's people oftentimes have a problem with this word true or truth. There's nothing worse, Sister Robin, than trying to confide or put your faith or trust in someone who refuses to tell the truth, who refuses to be truthful with you. There's not much of a worse feeling than that, to try to deal with somebody like that. Of course, the second one, the word honest, works hand in hand with truthfulness. One, if somebody asks something of another person that's very important, and they choose to be dishonest with them or to give them a dishonest answer, it's very hard to put your trust in them because there's no truth to the matter. They're being dishonest. And again, those two things work hand in hand. And just so you know, right now I'm just giving you the negative side of these words, but we're going to get to the positive. I just want you to understand, as always, there's two sides to every coin. Number three, the word just. Trying to find in today's world, Brother Jason, someone who's just, especially in our courts, in this wicked world today, is like the proverbial finding a needle in the haystack. Our courts, justice in our courts has all but disappeared. How many remembers the Jeffrey Epstein deal, and they're still talking about it today? Cover up, cover up, cover up, smack on the wrist and what have you. And then they lie about other things. And now you got this guy named Diddy, who all the hard charges, the serious charges that were brought against him have been dropped. They've only put the lighter ones on him, and he's basically getting a slap on the wrist. He's going to walk away. They don't care that he raped children. They don't care that he abused a woman for 4 or 5 days straight with multiple men. They don't care about any of these things he's done. This is the condition of our court system today, but thank God there's a judge who's beholding it all, and one day, Brother Eddie, he's going to make it all right. I'll never forget what Brother Dave Kish said when he came here. He said, I was up preaching one morning, and I was really, really down in my spirit about a lot of this stuff. And he came to me after church. He said, Brother Jimmy, I just feel to tell you, and I think he actually shared it with the church at one time too. He said, I just feel to tell you this. He said, you know, here's how you got to look at that. This lifetime right here, right now, it's as good as it gets for them. Let that soak in for a minute. We get frustrated, Brother Mark. We think, man, they need to go to prison, or they need the electric chair, or they need to be put to death because they did all these heinous things. This lifetime, Sister Blanche, is the best they've got, because after that, they have to meet God. They have to stand before the judge of all the earth. And so what we should be doing, as hard as it is at times, is to pray for their soul, because they're going to go before the God of all the earth and give an account for those deeds that they've done. And so justice is a hard thing to find in today's world. Then you got the word pure or purity. Once again, in today's society, it's much like trying to find the virtuous woman. Now, I say that because maybe back in the day, back in the 1800s, you could find a virtuous woman quite a bit. But with all of today's distractions, attacking the mind of men and women, perverting their minds with lascivious, wicked things, I've shared with you before, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, industries in the global world today, not just the United States, but the whole global world today, is the world of pornography. It is like a disease. I remember years ago, one of my mom's prayer warrior sisters came to her, and she had found a Playboy magazine in her son's bedroom. And she said, I didn't know what it was, Sister Jonda, and I opened it up, and she said, to my shock and surprise, I seen these pictures. And she said, I should have put it down right away. She said, and I can't explain to you, but there was a pull. And she said, I found myself flipping the pages, and my eyes were big as silver dogs, and I realized what I was doing. And she said, I slammed the book shut, and I said, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have been looking at that. But she said, I felt a spirit pulling at me to keep turning the pages. Now we've got an internet, forget the magazine, now we've got an internet that is really focused on the youth. They're focused on everybody, but they're really doubling down on our youth. And they take them from what I hear it called, I guess I'm using this terminology right, they call it going down a rabbit hole on the internet. And from the way I understand it is when you click on one thing, Sister Robin, it automatically takes you to another site. You don't even ask for it. It automatically takes you to another site, and then from that to another. And what they tell me is that it gets worse and worse and worse as you go, more and more depraved. Some of the things I've heard, I can't even speak from the pulpit. It sickens me to think of what people enjoy, how you can enjoy, even use the word enjoy, Brother Mark, with some of the things that these people, quote, get into. But it goes to show you what happens when people get away from God. And that's why I say trying to find a virtuous woman or a virtuous man in today's world is, if you're single and looking for a good partner, good luck. First thing you need to do, if you're serious about somebody, is you better take them to the doctor and find out what gender they are. I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be funny. They've got men that look like beautiful women. And you can't tell the difference because there are plastic surgeons that are just that good. I'll use this as an example, and I'll be very careful how I say it because I wouldn't want to embarrass my wife. But when she had to have her reconstruct done from the tumor that was taken out, me and her both were expecting to see the Bride of Frankenstein. I'll be honest with you, Brother Eddie, I was shocked and amazed at the precision of this plastic surgeon. I mean, I'm careful with my words here, but she doesn't look like, I'm not going to tell you her exact age, but she's middle-aged, okay? She doesn't look like a middle-aged woman. That's how good they are. And they can take a man, a burly man, Brother Mike, and feminize him to the point where you cannot tell the difference. I'm only saying this to make a point. I feel sorry for single people in the world today. Well, Brother Jimmy, you don't got to worry about it if they're in church hall, but you do. You certainly do, because the majority of the church world today embraces homosexuality. They embrace lesbianism. They embrace the transvestites. They take up for them. That's not my message this morning, but I'm just saying, trying to find purity in today's world, when Satan has used pornography and wicked, lascivious thinking to pollute the minds of millions of people, is a very hard thing to do. Number five, the word lovely. The word lovely in the Greek means two simple basic things. It means things that are acceptable in the eyes of God, and Brother Randy, things that are pleasing in the eyes of God. Again, this world does not meet the standard of God on this, because what they deem pleasing or acceptable is the exact opposite of what God deems acceptable or pleasing. And then finally, number six, of a good report. Have you ever seen the likes of people that love drama? If you don't believe me, just go to your television set and find out how many different reality shows there are on TV. And the majority of those reality TV shows deal with bad things going on in people's lives. You fill in the blanks. People are drawn to that. People would rather hear about a tornado taking lives, or a flood like we've seen here recently, taking lives, than to hear about a revival down the street where people are being saved. I'm telling you the truth this morning. Whatever it is about human nature, Brother Eddie, they're drawn to drama, which is another thought God gave me for a message. But they're drawn to drama. And these things ought not so to be. We need to think on these things that God has given us. In today's world, people, as I said, would rather listen to or focus on the evil reports rather than something of the Lord that is good. So what God is saying is we need to meditate on these six areas and use the good side of these words that I'm getting ready to go into to neutralize the bad side, to get rid of it and move on past it. And we got to be moderate in these things. As verse 5 tells us, says, let your moderation be known unto all men. And here's why: because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at it. Paul was saying that back then, Brother Eddie. The Lord is at hand. So how much more is he at hand now? We're very, very close. Amen. People could maybe ask the question and say, how do we know that God is watching? I mean, that would be probably a fair question to a degree, because people see all this going on in the world and automatically their mind wants to gravitate to that question. God must not be seeing, Brother Mark, what's going on, because it's being allowed to continue. But we know that he does. His word tells us that he does. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, not just part of it, but the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is what? Perfect toward him. There's your key. You got to be perfect toward him. The only way to do that is to think on the good things of God. So now let's look at these words in their positive frame. In the original Greek language, as well as our own dictionary, here's what these words mean. The word, starting with the word true. The word true means accurate, correct, something that is consistent with the facts or reality, and not false. That's what the word true means. Accurate, correct, consistent with the facts or consistent with reality, and something that is not false. That's what the word true means. Then we have the word honest, as we said, works hand in hand with the truth. The word honest means marked by one who tells the truth. Something that is gained or earned without cheating or stealing. Something that is honorable. Again, honest is marked by one who tells the truth. something that is gained or that is earned without cheating or stealing, something that is honorable. That's what the word honest means in the original language. Then we come to the word just, and the word just means innocent. Innocent, holy, right, morally and ethically sound. Now that's a big one, and it kind of goes in hand with the last definition of the word honest, where it says without cheating, to be morally and ethically sound. I've not seen the likes of people, and especially again online, who cheat against their spouses on an emotional level. With people they, Brother Mark, they've never even seen. Well, they send me their picture. How do you know that's them? How do you know that's them? And so they fall in love. They don't even know what love is, but they fall in love, as they say, with this fictitious person on the other end of the computer. And they say things to this person that they should be saying to their spouse. They use pet names for these people. And for all we know, it could just be an AI thing, not even a real person, but they're saying things to this, whatever this is. Brother Eddie, rather than calling their spouse baby or my love, they're calling that thing their baby, and I love you, and God only knows what else, Brother Mark, they're saying. Sickening, sickening things. Then we have the word purity, pure. The word pure means free from any outside element. Remember what I just got through saying? That's what the problem is today. All these outside things are coercing the minds and the hearts of God's people. Sinners will be sinners, but what about God's people? What's their excuse? Right here, their eyes are not on this. Their thinking is not on this. They're drawn to drama. Purity means free from all these outside elements. It also means free from sin. Free from sin. Innocent, modest, and clean. Well, that sounds like holiness to me. Amen. Innocent, modest, and clean. What about the word lovely? Well, we already told you the first two that are in the Greek means acceptable and pleasing in the eyes of God. But in the dictionary, it means having a childlike spirit, beautiful. Having a childlike spirit, beautiful. I like that definition. And finally, of a good report. It means well spoken of, reputable, good news. Well spoken of, reputable, and good news. So, but if one's heart, considering all this that I just went over, if one's heart is not perfect before God, you can take this, what I'm getting ready to say, to the bank. There will be some form or capacity of judgment coming from God. That's not for me to call. It's not for me to say. That's left up to God. But there will be some. Here's the thing that bothers me, Sister Darlene. The Bible says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And these people who are married, and there's many of them out there, that are cheating on their spouses and doing these things. The Bible also says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a just God. Our God is a God of love, but what else is he? He's a consuming fire. Why is he a consuming fire? Because there will never be any sin stand in his presence. So when you think about that scripture, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. When you take a man of God or a woman of God, whatever the case may be, and they're working for the Lord and their spouse is doing these type of things to them, they are touching God's anointed and they're doing them harm. Emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And God's not going to have it. There will be some form or capacity of judgment from God. They will not escape the judgment of God. They might escape it here. They may cover their tracks well here with man, but they'll never be able to cover their tracks with God. They will have a date with God in the proverbial woodshed, so to speak. Amen. So where have so many failed? How have so many Christians failed? Where they failed is in their lack of doing the things that they know are expected of them. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, when he said, these things ought ye to have done, and not to have left the other undone. Think about that. These things ought ye to have done, and not to have left the other undone. There are things that are expected of God's people. And today he's saying, think on these things. The apostle in here in Philippians continues with verses 6 and 7. He says, be careful for nothing. In other words, he says, don't be anxious for anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, not some things, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We did that here today, didn't we? We let our requests be made known by name to God. And if we'll do that, the next verse says, and then the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we do what? If we, through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. If we're following those three things, there's not going to be any room for sin. There's not going to be any room for these other things. When a child of God begins to neglect in their prayer life, and they forget to give God thanks for the things that he's already done in their life, their walk consistently and increasingly becomes more and more corrupt. It doesn't happen overnight. It's like you've heard me use the analogy. You heard when mom was alive, she used this analogy quite a lot too. It's like the old cold shower effect. We had to take a few cold showers. Our hot water heater went out a couple times here in the last year. I don't know what was going on with it, but we get in the shower. Brother Mike, think we're going to take a good shower. All of a sudden, cold water hits you, and it makes you want to jump out. But you know you got to get it clean, so you're like, ah. And you're standing there, but after you stand there for about a minute, after a while, don't feel cold anymore. And that's the way it is with a lot of people when it comes to the things of the world. At first, it's a shock because of the way they were raised, Brother Randy, that they're not supposed to be around those type of things. And at first, it's a shock to their spirit man. But as they gravitate more and more to it, and the longer, Brother Mark, they stay in that condition, the less and less and less it bothers them. I put a post on Facebook a couple of days ago about that. And I've already had several people comment on it. But it had something to do with the more you stay out of church, the easier it becomes. And it's the same way with the cold shower effect. The longer you stay in sin, the longer you maintain those lascivious activities, the more it becomes natural and the less condemned you feel, till eventually you don't feel condemned at all. You ever wonder why so many celebrities today are thanking Jesus and praising Jesus, and the next thing you hear is an F-bomb coming out of their mouth, or even GD? Jesus said bitter and water can't flow from the same fountain. You're either hot or you're cold, Jesus said, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. That's what Jesus said, not Jimmy. I'm just telling you what our Lord said. That's the world we live in today, and sadly, a lot of God's people are falling into that category. The only way to attain true peace of mind and walk in perfect congruence with God and his word is to practice. You ever heard the old saying, practice makes perfect, and with God it does. We need to practice these things, and we need to put them into action. What things? Things we've learned, things we've received, things we've heard about in the word of God, things we've seen with our own eyes. We need to practice those things, and especially those that are over us in the faith that we have confidence in, we need to learn from them and receive from them. And so many people are trying to fight against the true man of God today. The true men and women of God that are making a stand for the truth of God's word, people are fighting against that. And they're trying to embrace the actual opposite of that. And when the true men and true women of God, Brother Jason, come against those things, they're attacked. I'm talking about big worldwide church organizations that are attacking the truth tellers because they refuse to embrace homosexuality, because they refuse to embrace the idea of aborting babies, because they refuse to jump in with those who are against Israel. Anti-Semitics, I believe is what they call it. Truth tellers are persecuted, but it's no new thing. They were persecuted in the Old Testament. They were persecuted in Jesus' day. And we're going to continue, Brother Eddie, to be persecuted until Jesus returns, until he sets up his theocratic government. There'll be no more Republicans. There'll be no more Democrats. There'll be no more independents. There's going to be one way, and that's Jesus' way. See, the world's not used to that. World's used to being able to say whatever I want to say, bless God. I got a right to speak my mind. I got freedom of speech, bless God. Been an awful lot of people die over freedom of speech. But there is a man coming soon who's going to put everything right. Amen. Praise God. So practice makes perfect in the eyes of God. I want us to notice verse 9, what it says. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's a command. shall, the word shall is a command, shall be with you. It's a promise. So it's imperative that we become good followers. If you remember in the Word of God, there was a dispute amongst Jesus' disciples, and they were talking about who was going to be the rank the highest in the kingdom of God. And it really aggravated Jesus. And he said, look, that's not going to be with you. He rebuked them for it. He said, you need to seek how good of a servant you can be to your fellow disciple, to your fellow brother, to your fellow man. He said, if the Son of God came being a servant, how much more should you be? I'm putting that in my own words, but that's basically what he's telling Brother Eddie. If I, being your Lord, have become a servant to you, and I've got down and washed your dirty feet and waited on you and ministered to you, how much more should you do it? Then he hit him with the big gun. Sister Jenny, he said, but I say unto you, in my kingdom, the first is going to be last, and the last is going to be first. So let me jump off topic here for just a moment, because this gets up my crawl, and I just got to get it out. But one of these days, all these innocent Indians that have been so persecuted in this land, they're going to have their day. God's going to defend them. This is their country. Taken over by the white man. Don't fall out with me, but it's the truth. You can get quiet if you want to, but that's exactly what happened. And not just in this country, but other countries as well. People that think they have a right to the land of Israel, they're going to face God over that. And some of them that think in Egypt and different parts of the world, different parts of Ethiopia and different parts that think that that's their country, they're going to find out real quick it's not. That little slither of land right now is going to get real big. And God's going to say, no, boys, this is what I originally promised my people, and it's their land. So there's going to be restitution made for these things. But in order to be a leader, we must first learn to become a good follower. And Jesus is saying, be a servant. Don't seek to be masters. Because there's only one master, amen? Now, these are the four critical areas that we just read about that are a prerequisite to being a good leader. Number one, we must first learn from those who are over us. We got to be willing to learn. Some people that refuse to be willing to learn. When we used to travel and sing, God bless his heart, Bob Palmer was the worst at this. We had a wonderful thing called GPS, and we were trying to use it. No, don't go that way. This way's better. And without fail, Mom would listen to him, and we'd get lost every time. Crystal's dad was the same way when he was alive. June used to get so aggravated with him. Jim, where in the world are you taking us? People just don't want to learn. They don't want to learn anything. They know it all. There's a lot of know-it-alls in the world, amen? Number two, we must be willing to receive. When someone gives us something of instruction, we got to be willing to receive it. Jesus was trying to convey that to his disciples. Number three, we got to be willing to listen. That was another thing about James T. Arp and Bob Palmer. They wouldn't listen. Darlene says, neither will Crete. No, I'm just kidding. But people don't want to listen. People don't want to listen. Finally, number four, we must be willing to open our eyes and see what is right in front of us. Instead of trying to create a new Calvary, instead of trying to create a new doctrine, you know, use what God put before us. You know what it's called? If a little Lex was here this morning, she'd tell us. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Oh, that sounded pathetic. She'd be excited about the Bible. She would be. She would be excited.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.